Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Josh Fifield. He's the account executive for Clark Insurance. We're going to be talking about risk in the employment world, especially the cyber liability that employers and HR professionals need to be aware of. Then we're going to be talking with Murray Johansson. He's the president of Legacy Corporate Services, and his topic is transformational leadership, how to get it done, and some of the risks that are involved. And we're talking to Josh Fifield. He is account executive for Clark Insurance here in Portland, Maine. Josh, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You know, one of the things that certainly HR professionals, business leaders have to deal with is risk. And risk is certainly something that we deal with every day. Heck, getting out of bed is a risk. But in this particular case, we're talking about risk to an organization, risk to an HR professional. So tell me a little about some of the risk and maybe some of the market conditions that are out there right now that people may not have thought of. Hey, that really does affect the HR world.
Well, that's a variety of a large scope of variety right there, because here risk happens every day, whether we're watching on the weather and we're seeing what affects us, how we're going to get dressed for the day, how we're going to go out, how we're going to prepare for our day. It's a mental condition that we have even before we get to the office, even as our employees integrate into the commute to get to the office. You know, there's a risk of actually getting there. So you have an automobile risk, you know, while you're driving to or making errands while you're in the course of the day. And then you're actually at the office itself and, you know, while you're preparing for your day, and everyone's bodies are different. Everyone gets adjusted differently to their day. Everyone takes a little longer to wake up, maybe even after some coffee, maybe you have a few extra cups. Maybe that just takes you a little bit longer to get adjusted to how you're going to settle into your desk. And there's all kinds of factors that are involved there that an employer would want to look at. You know, how best can they accommodate the employee to help minimize their risk? What controls can they put in place in a written way that helps the employees understand what's the best practice that they should be taking? And what environmental factors are they doing to thinking about how to protect, say, their employees' best interest? Are they protecting their information, such as from a security breach in that regards, which can be very damaging to the organization and to the employee as well?
So we're talking about a number of different risks that are out there. So, you know, let's take a couple of those specifically. So we're talking about an individual that comes in and they're at their desk. They are dealing with typing on the computer. They're dealing with, visual cues from the screen and everything. And there's certainly VDT training and different things that need to be done. But tell me about how that can be actually a risk. I mean, employer might say to themselves, I would think they're pretty safe sitting in a cubicle just typing away on their keyboard. What's really the risk with that?
That's a great point, and it's maybe something overlooked compared to someone who's working in a more high-hazard field, quote-unquote, say a construction field or driving a truck for a living. You can be hurt just as bad, if not worse, while sitting at your computer. Ergonomics is a huge key that the employer is thinking about from protecting their employees, and are they managing that risk with, you know, utilizing, say, their workers' comp carrier to help give them a perspective of, are we best ergonomically setting up the cube for or their desk for their employee? You know, one of the larger types of workers' comp claims that are out there for more office-type employees is carpal tunnel. And carpal tunnel obviously affects your wrists and your hands, and it's from typing the same position or sitting in an awkward position all day, and it can start with stress in the neck. You know, could start with like the sunlight or the glare coming off of the computer screen. A cold condition, all these factors could lead up to someone who's just putting too much pressure and squeezing on their fingers. And over time, that cumulative trauma can be quite expensive when we're talking about a medical expense to the employer on a workers' comp.
And so there are obviously ways to try to mitigate that and try to help that. From an insurance standpoint, are there policies or are there protections for the employer that they can look at if they're doing the right thing? Because I maintain, and I've said it many times on this show, most employers want to do the right thing. Most employers want to make sure that people are taken care of. Most employers want to have happy, healthy employees. And the ones that don't, we're not even going to talk about because that's an obvious statement. But the fact is that we don't know what we don't know. And there's only limited resources, only limited funds. And you can buy a battery of insurances that you may or may not ever use. And that's the reality of the marketplace today. So share with us what, you know, somebody might look at or some of the factors behind why somebody might actually make these actual decisions to carry that type of insurance.
Well, in regards to, great question, in regards to workers' compensation insurance, in the state of Maine, it's required as soon as the employer has one employee. So as soon as there's, whether it's a part-time or a full-time employee, you know, that requirement is a state law, and that goes individually by each of the states. Until there's a federal mandate that actually has all of the states kind of working in unison together, it's on a case-by-case basis how each individual one is adjusted. So the employer is already doing that in advance. The next steps are more of a risk management, more of a risk control, because employers or larger employers that have a certain premium size do have a mechanism as part of their premium that's just tied to their safety. So the number of claims that they would have or injuries that may occur while they're on their workers' comp policy go into the effect of whether or not it's a debit and or a credit to their premium. A safe working environment, helping their employees either get back to work, return to work, or have less injuries is obviously going to give them a positive experience rating, which would hence return money or have them less cost for their premium. It's also an efficiency standpoint, as we know. Having a key employee off for a period of time while they're not working, it's hard to find someone to replace them on a quick basis like that.
When you're talking about, in this case, insurance, the role of the insurance agent really does play a big role in this in terms of helping maybe small businesses, HR professionals who have benefits or have insurance as part of their area. And I know a lot do here in Maine because we are certainly a small business state. But even nationally, when I, you know, because this show certainly covers a larger area, I think that, you know, people understand that the agents, you get a lot of information. And kiddingly, you can say you can bring in five different agents and have probably five different answers, but you can do the same with accountants and attorneys. So the question would be, how do you go about making sure that that role of the agent, that carrier, is one that you can research and really know about?
Great question. There is some great resources available to the HR world. You know, when they were looking at hiring an insurance agency, you know, one of the ones that our company prides itself on is being a member of the Trusted Choice organization, and it's a best practices of insurance agencies. There's tests that we have to meet to get involved with it. There's a lot of protocols that we have to have in place in order to actually be qualify and be a part of that organization. And I think it's an interesting one too, because the way our structure of our insurance agency is set up is that of an employee-owned agency. And I think, well, like any organization that's looking about who they're choosing as their vendor, it's interesting to know maybe a little bit more about the company that they're looking to work with. And the reason why I bring up an employee stock ownership company like we are is we feel that there's that benefit to the employees that, you know, they are conscientious of the cost of what it takes to do the business, whether they mail a large envelope or a small envelope. And that trickles down into how we're developing the programs for our customers and or our small businesses, because A, they're stressed for time, they're stressed for the funds, and we certainly understand that while we're developing the program. We want to make sure it's cost beneficial for everyone.
You know, certainly there have been a lot of national things that have happened out there, from violence that's happened to storms such as Superstorm Sandy that happened a little while ago. There's a lot of national news having to do with tragedy, and I guess when you think about it, that is what the news is all about, really, is about things that are happening. But the reality is that day in, day out, there are so many employers that deal with little risk. or wonder to themselves, is this really something I should pay for? What do you tell them when they ask those questions?
Well, there's if we all paid for all the insurances in the world, possibly A, we wouldn't be able to afford them, and B, we would never get out of bed and get into our cars to go to the office. And when we're best advising customers and or businesses on how best to structure the insurance program, is that there's certain things that are required by state law that start, obviously, and then from there, we almost have to kind of to go out to come back in. We need to learn exactly what the customer has for exposures and learn about their business, be integrated, get the information that to learn, you know, what is the possibilities out there. Majority of the time, there are new exposures that pop up all the time, and we get questions a lot like, you know, should I be worried about cyber liability, theft of data, breaches, hackers getting into our accounts and stealing employee information or stealing our customers' credit card information? And the short answer is absolutely. As the insurance market develops new products and it takes time for them to kind of get those in place, the premiums are on a high level. And at what point does the customer get into the coverage? At what point do we enter in, or do we try to find other avenues to either adjust what coverages we're paying for now, or do we kind of move it into another bucket, so to speak, to help with that coverage? And that takes a lot of working directly with the HR person, the CFO, with the agent itself, so that on a quarterly basis, annual basis, semi-annual basis, there's that review. It's not just happening at renewal time. It's happening throughout the year so that we can best advise, you know, when we can get into that.
Well, I think certainly this is an ongoing process. There's no question about it. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about cyber liability. It's a new real risk. And I think that this will be a great topic. So stay tuned. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right, General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does it mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-96-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-96-STEEL. That's 866-967-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-96-STEEL today.
You have to plan for your family's future. But where can you turn for affordable legal protection you can trust? LegalZoom.com. You'll find wills and trusts to make sure your family is protected. Or if you're starting a business, you can form an LLC, incorporate, and more. You can even have an attorney review your document through their legal plans available in most states. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but you can use it to find an attorney and get self-help services at your specific direction. For more savings, enter Brilliant in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
Hey, parents. When we drive, our children should be as safe as possible. I'm talking about securing them in booster seats between the ages of 4 and 8, or until they are at least 4 feet 9 inches tall. Booster seats are safe, smart, and the law in Maine. They lift a child up so that a seatbelt fits properly. Seatbelts should never rub against necks, be wrapped around backs, or be tucked under arms. Learn more at buckleupmaine.org. The Maine Bureau of Highway Safety wants you to survive your drive.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Your engine's piston has it bad. Up and down the cylinder, again and again, like the eternal labors of some fallen Greek hero. Does it complain? Ponder its ultimate purpose? Not the piston. But after 75,000 miles, you need to switch to Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil with conditioners that help rejuvenate aging seals to prevent engine failure. Now you will not hear that from your piston. The piston keeps it all inside. After 75,000 miles, switch to Valvoline Max Life in the red bottle, because there's a lot of car left in your car.
Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are speaking with Josh Fifield. He's with Clark Insurance. And we are talking about right now new products and a very scary thing, cyber liability. You know, what's interesting, Josh, I've had some discussions with your organizations about cyber liability and things that you never think about. What if a thumb drive disappears? What if a laptop gets taken? What if a cell phone gets taken? What if? There's so many what ifs. What if you have a data breach? What if you have a mobile app and it creates a problem? There are so many things. You talk about not getting out of bed in the morning. The poor IT people, you know, I say they have just got their heads, you know, wound tight as a drum on this stuff. So tell me a little bit about this new product, exposure risk, if you want to call it, because I think it really is a big deal, especially for companies that now have cyber issues, cloud computing, and different aspects that are out there in cyber.
You're right, absolutely. And I could see an IT person's head spinning just as much as an HR person's head spinning as well. You know, I think the realization is that the exposure has been there. It is now here, and it's apparent to everyone. And I think there's some myths out there of perception as to maybe this isn't going to hit me. Maybe I'm not a big corporation. I'm not the TJX's of the world, or the Sony's, where you've heard some, or the Hannaford brothers, you know, in the Northeast, where they've actually been loss of data stolen from employees and or customers. And that's a scary proposition. There are new products out there, and they've been out for a little while, and they continue to develop. And there are some strong insurance companies standing behind them that specifically are covering cyber liability. Cyber liability includes first party, third party, and also some expense type of coverages. So we're talking about coverages that are not currently covered on most employers' general liability policies. And if they have some fiduciary coverages that are available, there's probably some limited coverage that's available. They should be checking or talking with their brokers or their agents to help better understand how better to enhance those policies. We're talking about protecting the employees' information in this regards. So every company has an exposure with regards to cyber liability because they have employees' personal information. That personal information, whether it be an address, whether it be a zip code, whether it be obviously their credit card information, social security number, any of that information in the wrong person's hands can be detrimental to that employee and or that customer. The scary thing that's out there, and I don't mean to sound like that from an insurance side, it's the fear factor. However, each state has these regulations that are very different than from each other. Some states require that the attorney general be notified if one of their state residents gets a breach from one of the, you know, say they went shopping in a retail store in another state, and here this company for this one state isn't aware of another state's protocols, that they then, if a breach happens, has to then notify the state attorney for the other state and spend money to put identity theft and fraud alerts on that customer's information. It could be mind-blowing in what the costs are. There are some studies done that show what an average breach cost per breach is for notifications to the state attorney general's office, to the employee, or whether or not to the customer. You know, they range from anywhere from $200 to $300 per case, and that's just the notification expenses. That's not the cost of the liability to someone else out there, or a suit brought in, or the loss of reputation damage to the customer, to the entity that actually suffered the breach. So there are some new products out there, and it's really, really important, because with those comes more applications, and with that comes more information, risk management information. And what I would say there is, fill the application out regardless of whether or not you think you have the exposure. After you fill an application out for cyber liability, you will understand better what your exposures really are.
Well, I know, I think about even an HR professional or a business leader that has a laptop and they have employee information in it, and in a blink of an eye, it's gone off a table. Or a cell phone, which may have email, which has personal information in, and it's gone off a restaurant counter. And people, or taken out of somebody's purse, or taken out of somebody's coat pocket. You know, the reality is today, even in this, from that aspect, you can have something happen without even knowing it. I mean, that's the amazing part. I mean, how many times have we had emails and Facebook and Twitter and some of the other accounts that have had information taken? So, you know, when you're thinking about this, folks need to understand that it's not just that it couldn't happen to you. It can. And over time, as it gets more risky, will happen to you.
It's a good point. And, you know, one of the mechanisms that gets put in place with the insurance, or prior to the insurance, or as a requirement of, you know, getting that type of coverage, is what security measures are you having as an employer in place now? One of the things that we're seeing more of, and in fact, our organization does have a cyber liability policy, and we have company phones that have information on them. We have smartphones, access points to get either emails or customer data information. And as part of the protocols that had to be put in place for us to even get the insurance, is that we actually had to put on a certain type of application that allows us to remote wipe the data if it was to be lost. And there's studies talking about, you know, what is the cost of if you lost a laptop. And it could range anywhere from $50,000, you know, because that's the replacement cost, not just of what the laptop is, obviously, but it's the detection, it's the forensics, the data breach, lost, you know, internet protocol costs, lost productivity, legal consulting, and regulatory expenses. You know, and it's on average about $20,000 less if that computer is not encrypted. So there's mechanisms in place that the insurance companies want to do, their best practices. I mean, again, the best thing you can do is help plan for this in advance. It helps the recovery process.
No, I think this is very important stuff. And, you know, I can imagine there are people listening saying to themselves, I may not have thought about this because, you know, it may not have happened to me. But, you know, it is a real risk. And I think that we need to take some time to look at that as an area. And if somebody was interested in learning more about that, how would they get a hold of you?
My contact information is on our website, clarkinsurance.com, and I can provide my email address or my contact information. Again, my name is Josh Fifield from Clark Insurance. I'm an accounting executive. My direct dial is area code 207-523-2255, and my email address is jfifield, F-I-F-I-E-L-D, at clarkinsurance, spelled out, .com.
Perfect. And if anybody after the show wants to click directly, they can go to the HRPowerHour.com website. We will have the link directly to Josh. We can go there. Josh, I want to thank you for being in the studio with me today and having a great show. I appreciate you taking the time to do so.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
OnStar Center.
I just woke up and my car was stolen.
I hate that you had to call us under these circumstances, but I'll be happy to assist you. Are you in a safe location?
Yeah, the car was in the driveway. My wife's car was behind mine. I come out to get the newspaper. Her car's out in the street. So they pushed her car out to get to my car.
Do you have the stolen vehicle report number?
550.
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
Police Department.
I have a location on a stolen vehicle. It's just off of Riddler Brook Court. It's stationary.
Thanks, OnStar. We have three units going out there. This is Keith.
This is the OnStar Center. We have located the vehicle. Police, you'll be contacting you shortly.
Okay, thanks so much.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now, you can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
I'm in a state of caffeination, got all my fingers shaking, must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we're talking with Murray Johansson. He is the president of Legacy Corporate Services. Murray, thank you for being on the show today.
Well, I'm delighted to have a chance to talk with you and your audience.
No, so, you know, you're out in California, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, beautiful California. And so I can't think of a better place to be talking about transformational leadership.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's an interesting topic and one of growing interest in a lot of organizations.
So what got you interested in this type of topic?
Well, what happened was many years ago I started out in corporate training, and I put together teams in a paradigm they used to call total quality management. Some people call it continuous quality improvement, and today it's kind of morphed into something called Six Sigma. So we used to always put together teams, you know, and have the teams solve problems that the organization was having difficult times with. It was interesting because one of the things I noticed over a number of different sessions that we had done in different corporations is some of these teams would actually not do very well. They would call it failing, or they go into storming. And it ultimately boiled down to the fact that about one out of four of these actually didn't have the internal leadership that was required to be able to take a team and make it work. In fact, they kind of be devolved into more of a group of people that feuded all the time. So it ended up I'm having to take over a lot of the leadership functions because it wasn't just there. So it started on this focus on leadership and the importance of leadership not only in teamwork but also in change.
You know, there is an age-old question that goes out there, and it is, are leaders born or made? What's your take on it?
Yeah, it's very interesting how people respond to this. You usually say one way or the other. But actually, the best response is it's both. There are some elements of leadership that are genetically based, as in traits of personality. So you're extroverted, and of course, leaders tend to be a bit dominant, which is not a bad thing by all means. So there's part of it that is genetic based. There's a big part of it, of course, which is environmentally based. And mostly, I think leadership is learned. It was Vince Lombardi who had this very famous quote. You know, he said, leaders are not born, leaders are made, and they are made by effort and study. And I think he's hit on the essence of this question. So again, we evolve ourselves to be great leaders, even though we might be genetically blessed with certain kind of traits that help out.
Well, you know, this transformational leadership that you're talking about,
If you could define it, if you could tell me what it exactly is, that may help, probably help the audience understand exactly what we're going to have a little bit more of a conversation about today.
Sure. Different people tend to define it in different ways, but as its essence is the idea of change, the ability to change others. And associated with that, I think great transformational leaders are actually also changing themselves. So the core of transformational leadership is the ability to see change happen, make change happen, be able to motivate, be able to communicate, be able to influence in such a way that it sees changes in people's thinking, or especially, of course, in people's behavior. So that's at its essence.
When you are trying to build transformational leadership, how would you build it?
Yeah, it depends on whether the individual is someone who's doing it on their own, or whether it's more in an organizational setting. So from an organizational standpoint, one has to devise a skill-building strategy that works and is consistent with the organizational strategy. And so there's a huge HR role that's just very strategic and very, very important in terms of design of a program such as this. And, of course, in an organizational context, it's really critical to have the top folks involved, especially the, I guess we maybe use the term alpha female or the alpha male. At the top of the organization, you know, has to somewhat lead the charge from an organizational standpoint. But again, one does have a lot of ability to be able to change people within one's department. So again, part of it is the idea that we need internal leadership buy-in, and we also need, of course, a strategy, a plan, a development approach that works inside that organization.
So we're talking about transformational leadership here, and we're talking about why it would be important for an organization. So I guess the question is, why should an organization really be interested in this? What is the benefit to them?
That's in the age of ROI and a continual focus on profit, I think this is a really critical question. Each organization has to look at it. It's very hard to put a number on training, as you well know. However, I think that leadership, especially transformational leadership, from an executive view, is one of the things that helps them to develop a sustainable competitive advantage. I think this is one of the ways that people in the HR area might also broach the idea of how to do this inside the organization. It's part of our competitive advantage. It's part of what we do to be the best of breed. It puts us ahead of our competitors because it allows us to get better utilization from the workforce. So to me, that is what's really very, very important on this as well.
What is at the core of the transformational skill set?
Yeah, the core, the way we like to operationalize it for people that are evolving themselves and evolving their organization is skill-based competencies. The idea that we want to take theory and turn it into tangible skills that can be observed in the workplace. So at the core, there's what we refer to as the foundation skills. And these are a lot of times things that we all know about. They're the soft set skills. So on one of the most important skills, in my view, and one we probably don't spend as much time on as we should, is communication. Just in communication, which is very complicated, there's over 12 different skill sets that one can learn. It's listening, there's interpersonal, there's facilitation, there's feedback, there's nonverbal, there's persuasion. There's a whole set of these things. So at its core, great communication skills become really critical. And then, of course, at the foundation level, we also want to provide to people and model a set of theory that's very practical and relevant as it relates to human motivation. So again, communication, we want to get buy-in, and that's a thought process, but motivation is a behavior process. So a lot of times people don't have a clear set of understandings related to what motivates people. And so there's so many theories out there, it's all rather confusing. But the one that we like to focus on, which comes out of psychology actually, is something known as operant conditioning or behavior modification. So one can understand people behave according to the consequences associated with the behavior, and that gives us a huge, huge lever in terms of how we can work with people, how to change people for the better. So I used to call this the ABC approach. So it's like learning your ABCs. You start out with your antecedents, and then you have your behaviors, and then you have your consequences. These two form the really kind of foundation elements associated with great leadership.
You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
I love Maine, and I'm interested in Maine news.
But I want it quickly and simply.
All in one place would be good.
You've just described a great website.
Really?
MaineNewsSimply.com.
Maine news.
Three words. MaineNewsSimply.com. Go to the site, and I'll explain. MaineNewsSimply.com collects news as it happens from news sources all over Maine. It's compiled and presented online in an easy-to-read format that keeps you up to date in just minutes. MaineNewsSimply.com is for people on the go who want the news of Maine fast, anywhere, anytime.
I'm on, and you're right. This is exactly what I asked for.
Discover what thousands of Mainers already have. Maine News Simply, the free online website and daily newsletter loaded with headlines and stories from close to 50 news sources.
Maine News Simply looks great, easy to read, current, interesting. I like it.
Try it today, and while you're there, sign up for the newsletter. It's all free. Three words, MaineNewsSimply.com. The smarter, faster way to stay on top of the news in Maine.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light, or call us at 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. Murray, how are you doing today? You doing all right?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
No, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And we're talking about a very, very important topic, and that is transformational leadership. And again, we are talking with Murray from Legacy Corporate Services out in beautiful California. And which, as a matter of fact, I will say, I was just out in California for the Lincolnshire International meeting, and stayed in San Diego, and it was beautiful. And I wanted to thank you for presenting at our event. I think you did a great job, and I wanted to publicly thank you for that.
Oh, that's quite all right. I'm glad I had the opportunity.
All right, so we're talking about transformational leadership. So how would you get started in this leadership development role having to do with it? And I'm going to add on that, what are some of the major mistakes people or organizations will think of in regards to transformational leadership?
Yeah, I think that the best leader leadership development programs are actually the ones that we try in ourselves. And so I'd say that oftentimes what we need to do is start looking at our own ability to lead and how we can best improve that. So again, if I was a professor, I'd say read a lot. You know, but there was a famous guy by the name of Mintzberg who says, you know, you can't learn to swim by reading about it. I think this is a real key observation. So again, when it comes to leadership development, we got to understand what we need to do, but then we also need to go ahead and start practicing it in the real world. So the idea here is that all of us are leaders in an organizational system, and we might not view ourselves that because we may not have a super long job title that goes vice president or director or C-level, CIO, COO, CEO, but all of us are leaders because we have to influence people. Our ideas have to be sold, and so we have these moments of truth where we're interacting with someone. Maybe it's coaching, maybe it's counseling, maybe it's motivating, maybe it's delegating. So again, the way I would get started myself is to evolve myself and evolve my skills and make sure that I'm walking the talk. It's called modeling, actually. So there's principles in the world of psychology that tell us the most powerful model of what we want to see is ourselves. So someone once told me, you know, hey, the best way to change an organization is to change the boss. And so at one level, I think that's really, really important.
No, I absolutely agree. You know, one of the things that comes with this is the question, does this style work in all cultures? Is this, transformational leadership something that no matter what type of organization, whether it be soft lines, hard lines, manufacturing, professional services, does it really matter, or is this really more about the individual leadership of people and how they interact?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I've seen a lot of research on it, and I've seen research coming in from overseas, actually, research coming out of Hong Kong, for example, and out of Singapore. And the research there indicates that, yes, it does work in different organizational settings. So culture, I think, is a real key variable. One quick example of this is that in Asian cultures and some other cultures as well, one doesn't always need to show the leadership characteristics that we would normally use here in America, primarily because the authority system works a little bit different there, so you can get a lot of things done through authority. So, the cross-cultural studies have indicated that it does work across cultures, but again, it would have to be adapted, obviously, to a different environment.
Is it risky to do transformational leadership? What are some of the pitfalls that companies can go into? I can envision communication issues. I can envision, change. People don't like change. People get concerned about it. I can envision there is, whenever somebody changes their leadership behavior and models, that it has an effect, and there are, of course, unintended consequences. Tell me about some of the risks behind it.
Yeah, that's another interesting point. There actually is a certain amount of risk associated with change. Different types of research has indicated, that some organizations are very oriented towards change and other organizations are very resistant to change. As a general rule, if you're part of an organization that's been around for a really long time, or that is a very large organization, of course, what we call a bureaucracy, there's going to be a lot of organizational factors that are going to be very resistant to any kind of change program. So we'll have to say that transformational leadership is not the most safe of things because it always risks failure. I'd actually seen a study once that said that organizational change, system change across the organization as a whole has a very high failure rate. We're looking at somewhere around 2 out of 3 efforts actually fail for various reasons. So from a risk standpoint, we'll have to say that it's not easy to change people. People complain about the routine, they complain about the order, all the time, it's always the same, nothing ever changes, da-da-da-da. And then you ask them to change, and they don't want to. It's someone used to refer to this as the rubber band effect. You know, when you ask organizations or people inside an organization to change, it's like pulling on a rubber band. And, of course, that's your effort. You know, the rubber band gets pulled, but, of course, the rubber band tends to snap back to the old way of doing things. So for a lot of reasons related to the individual, related to the organization, transformational leadership is not easy. But it's really important from a strategic standpoint, because if an organization doesn't change, it's highly likely they won't adapt to the markets that they find themselves in. So it's partly a organizational prosper issue, partly an organization survival issue. And, of course, today many organizations are striving for innovation. Innovation is another real key element which comes out of this transformational style.
Is it important while you're doing this to be thinking about mentoring or a role model or some sort of coaching process that takes you through this transformation because of the risk?
Yeah, that's. I oftentimes like to, I work with individuals or executives on this kind of stuff. It has to do with partly what we control and what we can't control. So you always want to try to have reasonable influence that we are able to use to be able to influence people properly. So that becomes a real critical element.
What are some of the harder to develop characteristics in this area?
Yeah, we got interested in this a few years ago from a skill building standpoint and a knowledge standpoint. So we looked at what kinds of competencies one really needs to develop to be a great transformational leader outside of the two I already mentioned, which was communication skills and motivation. So one competency that people need to develop further is what is known as a transformational mindset. So it's a set of beliefs, actually, that support the process. There's some people out there that say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And there's other people out there that say, hey, something can always be improved. So this is part of a mindset, a set of beliefs. It includes some things like development of character, which, of course, can be very, very, very difficult. So beliefs is a very difficult thing to change on the mindset side. A second thing that we like to stress with people is that they have the ability to increase their influence. And I think this is an important thing. A lot of times people just kind of give up. They just kind of say, you can't change the system. The organization's immune to change. But you can change the people around you, and you can influence up, and you can influence sideways. And, of course, this requires an understanding of how to use power. So there's 9 of these different types of influence, which is including in coaching. So, again, coaching is a real key element of this when one wants to build skills. So we have mindset, we have influence. We also have a competency build related to skill building itself. It's always been kind of a mystery to me that we want new behaviors. We want people to engage in better behaviors. And yet, most people, if you ask them, they wouldn't know how to build a skill. I mean, they'd probably say, I don't know. That's not my job to build skills. I don't know how to do that. And so the coaching movement is very, very critical on this. And so people need a model of how to build skills. So go from theory through practice all the way through mastery. And of course, that is sometimes very difficult. And then finally, And this is the one that I think a lot of times we in the world of management sometimes forget. We are, all of us, products that can be improved. We are all of us needing to engage in personal improvement efforts continuously, unceasingly. We should never, ever, ever stop. And so this is the thing that we refer to as self-mastery. And when I looked at why executives derail, why their careers end up going into the dumpster, one sees a lot of personal characteristics, things they just didn't take care of. But when they became executive, now these things are very, very, very critical. An example would be that they don't listen very well. Well, when you're in the organization or at the lower level, it doesn't matter. But when you're an executive, listening becomes part of what you have to do really, really well. So we have these four competencies: transformational mindset, the ability to influence, the skill at building skill, and then the last one, which is the unceasing effort to master our own abilities and to change ourselves. If we can't change ourselves, it's highly likely we're not going to be able to change others.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. Murray, this has been a great topic and a great discussion about transformational leadership. I appreciate so much you taking the time to be on the show today. If somebody wants to learn more about transformational leadership, how would they get a hold of you?
Yes, we'll have a link, of course, to the website. So the best option there would be to get a hold of myself through our corporate website, which is www.legacy.com, spelled LETACEE. And that would, I think, be a great way just to start. And I really would encourage anyone who is interested in transformation and anyone who is thinking about evolving in their leadership skills to please get a hold of us. We have lots of information that we're more than willing to share to help anyone who would like to take this on.
Perfect. And, of course, anybody can go to the HRPowerHour.com website after this, and we will have certainly a link that they can click on to get directly to that website. Murray, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yes, and thank you, David. I appreciate the opportunity to have a chance to share some ideas with your audience.
And now the HR tip of the week. In today's world, finding a job takes more than just sending out your resume to hundreds of postings online. Make sure that you're really making a marketing plan. Make sure you're taking the time to network the people who really know you. They're the ones that are going to help you find that successful career. Also, believe it or not, social media can make a massive difference in how others, especially potential employers, see you. So make sure your social media imprint looks neat, clean, and professional. HR professionals do look at your social media profile. Recruiters do want to know what you say and do. So that's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with a show favorite, Carrie Baker from Norton Financial. She's the senior account executive, and we're going to be giving you another update on the Affordable Care Act. Also, James Barmer, he is the director of Maine Business Leadership Network, or BLN, in Augusta, Maine, and he's going to be talking about disabilities and hiring individuals with a disability in the workplace. That's on the HR Power Hour next week. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.